The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Adventures.
Brother!
This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Brad. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
You're watching the final cast or listening to the final cast on Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm Brad.
I'm Matt.
And we are brought to you by Dark Horse Tackle, bringing you the best baits that you've never heard of, 100% made in the USA, hand-painted in the USA, and hand-poured in the USA. So go to the website, darkhorsetackle.com, and use promo code PADDLE20 to get 20% off your first monthly subscription.
Yeah, and that works for any subscription, I believe. It's not just like the Weekend Warrior or the Dapple or the Champ Box. It works for all of them. So you can pick whichever one you want. It's money.
If it works with the Champ Box, dude, you're going to get some nice bit of money saving there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's quite a bit. I'll be honest. Like, I think it's $79.99, I think, but I stopped looking at it just because, like, I'm always fine with getting the box and like, yeah, it was totally worth it. But every time it hits my account, I'm like, oh man.
That was yeah, that sucks. there's no way I couldn't afford it. But anyway, it's what's going on? What's new?
Not a whole lot. We're getting down. We're getting closer and closer to fall, which means we're getting closer and closer to good fishing and out of the summer crap with low water and poo poo.
I hope so, man.
Dude, me too, because it's getting like I'm getting annoyed.
You hitting the river this weekend?
Maybe on Sunday. I was talking to Justin about it. Doing like a morning float or something.
Let's do it.
Yeah, dude, I'm definitely down because Saturday I got to work, unfortunately, because I'm an adult.
Yeah, so, at least get some fishing in before and get off the water before football starts at 1 p.m.
Exactly, which I'm going to have to do I'm going to have to find the Browns again. I went through every
website. I got links for you.
Do you? Yep. All right, cool. That's all I need to know because I was scouring through Reddit. My account got banned because I was asking about it. And then I finally found it in the midway through the second quarter. And I was like, awesome. And then it was like buffering every 30 seconds. And then it was fine for like the rest of the quarter. Yeah, and then halftime came great for the third quarter. Fourth quarter, the quarter that mattered when Cade York kicked a 58-yard field goal, I literally almost missed that. Dang. I would have been ticked.
Yeah, I got some links for you to use. I used link to watch all the UFC events and stuff. Guys, if you're listening to this, do not message me and ask for the links because I'm not going to give it to you because every time people share these links, they get blocked. So I'm not sharing them anymore.
Yeah, except for me, because yeah. All right, so we're gonna get into the main topic of the show here in a little bit, but me and Brad were talking. We kind of want to go over what we are getting in these Dark Horse tackle boxes.
So yeah, we're gonna do this every month too. So whenever we get a new box, we're gonna have a little segment each episode like this.
And I'm all about it because this stuff's awesome. So, Brad, start us off. What box did you get this month?
I got the Dabble Pack. That's what I'm subscribed to, which I think they raised the price, so I think it might be $13 now. But you get more stuff.
Terrible.
No, you get more stuff in the box now, which is it's cool. Beforehand, you get one crankbait or like two small things. You know what I mean? So yeah. They added a couple more things in the box and then raised the price a little bit. So this month I got these Deeks shaky heads. Pretty cool. They're hand painted. They got screw lock on it. These hooks are freaking sticky. And they paired it with the Jolly Bait Company Pilgrimite. And this is cool because it's black on one side, brown on another side, and you get 12 in a pack. And they look really good on the shaky head that they scent. So
that's insane. You get 12 on a pack.
I know. I was kind of impressed with that. And they're from Node, Kentucky. So that's cool. Not very far.
Yeah,
away.
Not. I'm about to say not terribly far away from us. Yeah, I love how that looks. That looks awesome.
Yeah, you can just see it if it's just standing or on the shaky head on the bottom. That thing's just wiggling.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna get.
That's gonna be sick.
And then the last thing I got was. Dark Horse, or not Dark Horse, Dark Corner, flat-sided square bill. I don't know how deep it is, but man, this thing looks sweet. So it's like,
dude, I promise you, anything Dark Corner Customs ever paints, anything he pumps out is some of the best stuff on earth.
Yeah, that's like, a $15 bait too, by the way. Like if you buy it off Dark Corner's website, that's $15, and yeah. it's cool because it has like a green face, a red body that like fades down to an orange on the belly. It looks cool.
That's sick. What's the let me see the lip
here. I'm gonna pull the red light off real quick so you can see it better. I don't know if you that.
I bet that'll deflect off rocks well.
Yeah,
maybe not like vegetation as well, because of those the big rounded lips help do that, but I think that'll hit a rock and deflect right off of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of a excited to try this as it gets colder, because I hear flat-sided crankbaits work in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, I'm pumped to see what you got, dude. That's all I got in my dabble box. So
I'm subscribed, and I have been since, like, April, to the Dark Horse Tackle Champ Box, which is this big black box. So this month, you get a little card that, you know, tells you all the cost of the baits and who makes them. But we'll start with, this is from Lured by Brian. And it is a glide bait.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And this is why I love this box, because you get a glide bait like almost every month, which is awesome. So hand-painted glide bait. It's almost like in a shiner style. It's a bigger shiner. But yeah, this is a $25 bait. Okay. So we'll do the tally. So $25 for this, which is, in my opinion, is probably underpriced. You could probably sell these for a lot more. Like, I've seen them go for a lot more. I have name brand baits that are the same thing that go for $7.
What blank is that?
I don't know. I have like three of them and I don't know what the blank is, but I've fished the other two I've got and they're fantastic. Like it glides. It's a really big, wide glide. It's really reactive. I mean, I'm a big fan of it.
Awesome.
Which I'm actually probably going to throw it when we go where we're going soon, because it almost mimics a white bass maybe a little bit. So, So we got that. The next thing we got is from Beastie Baits. if I can get it out without stabbing myself because it's getting stuck on the package and I can already see this comeback hit my thumb and I'd be mad. Okay, so this is a balsa topwater bait. Again, hand-painted black stripe on the top, white on the bottom. And what's really cool about it, so it has the spinner on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look underneath here, the hook, the split ring's actually inside the bait. So it kind of reminds me of like an older...
Huh.
Lord, it's an inset split ring.
Yeah, so I know what you mean.
It stays like that, so it's not going to go get caught at the back or anything like that, and then just a standard split off the back. But I'm excited to throw this. It's a good profile. Balsa, it's fantastic. Balsa is going to take forever to, you know, it's hard to beat balsa up too bad when it's on top water and stuff. So it's a bait that's going to last a long time.
Yeah, I got you.
So this is also, this is $25 if you bought it directly from Beastie for the balsa top water. Yeah, so we're at $50 already for two baits. So next I've got Lure Forge. I also got a flat side, which I'm pumped about. Let me get it out.
It's not so this from Lure Forge, you said?
Yep, this is from Lure Forge. So this is the flat side mini. Let's see if I can get my camera to focus.
Yeah, it's not focusing. Okay, yeah.
So great color pattern on this. I like the white bottom, really good attention to the detail. And this is that smaller profile bait, which will be great. I think, I mean, I'm probably going to throw it immediately and then continue to throw it into the winter. Cause like you said, flat sides do tend to get bit cause the action's a little bit different, more erratic in the winter and late fall. So yeah, that's awesome. That bait is $21.
Good Lord.
So you're already at 70, like, yeah. $71 already at $71. And I got two baits left.
That's crazy.
So the next bait is, the last two baits are both from, his name is Bobby Wasabi. Bobby Wasabi.
Sorry to laugh at that if you're listening, Bobby.
Bobby, we like your baits enough. just yeah, you got a good name. I'm about it. It's funny. I like it. And you make good baits. So this is the Bobby Wasabi Duo Pencil.
What is it? Just like a walking bait?
It's a really small walking bait.
Dude, perfect, you need to throw that pattern on the river, man.
I planned on it because it's super small. I feel like it's going to be erratic.
Was that like 3 inches?
I'd say, yeah, maybe three, maybe a little shorter, or maybe 3 1/4. But I mean, it's, again, the attention to detail looking at it. I mean, it's, let's see if it'll pick it up. So
it does a little bit. It's just the camera's bright.
Yeah, I know. It's because the stupid light I have behind it to see my ugly face. But big fan of this. It already has a feathered treble on the rear end. Trebles aren't huge, which is nice. It lets the bait work a little bit better. And the hooks are sticky right out the box, which is great. I don't have to trade out hooks, which is a big plus. Put that one back in there. That is $15. So now we're at $86 already. So I've made $6. The last one is exactly last one again. Old Bobby Wasabi, the Karashi. So
what is
Karashi? It's another topwater like spook style bait.
That looks sweet.
Yep, and it's got a feathered tail. So I've never thrown anything with a feathered treble, but I'm kind of pumped to try it. So it's in like a bluegill pattern.
That's like marabou hair looking.
It is, man, and it feels like it. So I'm pumped. I think this is going to have a ton of action underneath the water. I'm really excited to throw this. And it's still not like the top waters we were talking about last week. Like there's the Sixth Sense. It's still smaller than that.
Yeah,
by a little bit. So it's gonna, I mean, I feel like it's gonna be a little bit better presentation for smallmouth. Great colorways, again, great attention to detail. And this was $12, so now we're at $99.
Can't be
or $98. Excuse me. So $98 for $80 made $16, and all these baits come from a small company here in the U.S., which is insane.
Yeah, they're all hand painted too. Like these blanks, you can't find blanks in America. That's just, it's just is what it is. But they hand paint them. So,
yep. Say all the blanks are hand painted. These guys, they're not like, you know, just from other stuff I've got. So, like this is still like, I don't want to throw it because I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. It's still one of my favorite baits that I've gotten from the Dark Horse box.
Yeah, that one looks so freaking sweet.
It really does. Computer trip Bill. I mean, I'm going to have to throw it for the simple fact that it's a flat side. So I'm going to have to throw it in the winter. I'm just afraid I'm going to lose it in the river. But I mean, you get that every month. Like here's another one I got from the box. This is from Robusto. I don't know, but
Robusto. Yeah.
But it's a crawl pattern. Shut up. But it's a crawl pattern.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Really nice looking bait, hand painted, small profile. You know, I can keep going and going because I'm having the issue I haven't had in a long time. I'm running out of room, like in boxes.
Yeah.
Which I have a ton of boxes and I'm a tackle whore. So this is crazy.
But you can like, give me some of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey. Here's another one.
That's funky looking.
I know, man, but I want to throw it. It's another flat side. So, I mean, I'm going to be throwing a ton of flat sides this winter just catching fish. I'm pumped.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, yeah. I threw one last winter and I didn't have any luck on it, but
well,
still going to try it. Because, I mean, power fishing in the wintertime, what, you can't get better than that.
Oh, no. Especially if they're starting to hit it. Let's go. I'm about
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our segment for the Dark Horse Tackle guys. So if you're interested, go check them out.
Definitely go check them out on Instagram and go check them out. They also do a podcast. It's not a fishing related podcast. They just talk about random stuff. Brad's been on it a couple times. I mean, it's all over the place and I love it. It's awesome to listen to. So it kind of gets you out of the grind of being, you know, me and Brad were talking about this. I'm sure there's some viewers who are like this too, to where you're so into fishing, you almost get a little burnout.
Yeah.
Which is why I hunt. And when hunting season starts, I still fish, but I kind of focus on whatever season I'm in. So deer, dove, duck, goose, turkey, it gives me something else to think about. And it's a nice reprieve. Now I have dry suit this year, so I'll be hunting or fishing a lot more in the winter, but still. I'm going to have hunting tobacco jump over to, and so will Brad, because he's coming hunting with me this year, and I'm pumped.
Yeah, I need to. Yeah. Yep, I'm burnt out on fishing right now. So.
Next week, you'll be unburnt out. It'll be good to go.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. But, okay, so this week's show, talking about the review of my boat, the P127 from Bonafide.
Yep. You've had it for since June or something.
May, I think I got it.
I don't remember.
Was it June? I don't know. It's been a couple of months. I've had plenty of trips in it to get to know it and enjoy it. So,
oh yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. So, where do you want to start? You got a pros and cons list or what? I mean, your cons list is probably pretty low on the map.
I mean, it's pretty short. Yeah. We can talk about the cons because they're, I'll be honest, there's not a lot. And this has nothing to do with being affiliated with Bonafide or anything along those lines. It's just my personal feelings about the boat. From owning other Bonafides in the past. And I've said this when we were talking to Hans about the RVR making little you know, little sidetracks. We like going down stupid rabbit holes all the time. I miss having center console storage.
Oh yeah.
Like having the pod and the SS107, 127, having the dry storage and the RS series. I miss having that storage. I understand why I can't have it. It's not really a con because you either have pedals or you have storage. There's no,
yeah.
Like both. I do miss that. That is one thing. And that has, you know, that's not really a con on the boat. Like I just said, the underseat storage, it's got a weird shape. So it's kind of weird to put anything there. Now Bonafide's coming out with a accessory. So that's coming. And then
Yak Gadget has something too, right?
Yak Gadget, it's still in the works. Okay. So it's coming, but the shape is just weird. So I you know, I've tried a couple different things and the way it comes out, so here's your seat and then underneath there's, it's almost like a, I don't know, it's two slanted straight lines and then it comes straight back to a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very front of it, it fits almost everything. But the second you get halfway back or more, it gets really narrow and nothing can fit there.
You can't
really stuff stuff underneath the seat, which kind of sucks.
Like a tackle box. You can't push all the way back.
Exactly. So I can get it like right underneath my feet to where I can see the front of my Plano Edge boxes, but I can't push them any farther back or it just won't go. Like it's, you know. So that's a con. I'm not a huge fan of that. The amount of track space you have on this boat is great. I just wish there was either a built-in cup holder, and this is just a convenience thing for me, a built-in cup holder on one of the sides,
mm-hmm.
just because the cup holder on the boat is where the pedal drive goes down, which is great for like if you're in a lake or something along those lines. But in deep water, but if you're like on the river, for example, which it's not my river boat, but that's all I've used. Like,
yeah.
I've like,
well, it makes sense. It's your new boat. You want to use it.
Exactly. And we fish a ton of rivers. Typically other lakes around here suck. Or you'll get murdered by a boater. So we don't really go on them too often. But the cup holder is right in the center of that center, like cover.
Oh so, yeah. The black cover.
Yeah, so I have to take, when I take that, if I put my cup there, when I take that off to pull the drive up and I'm going to shallow water, I have to drag. I've got to move my Nalgene back, and it just, I don't ever put it there because it gets annoying to have to do that. There is two little cutouts right behind, like, center with me, my seat. I can put it there, but it'll fall over because there's nothing. So it'd be nice if there was, you know, in that cutout at the very end, right where your seat's at, if it was, like, a little raised piece. To where you could put something in there and it was not going to fall over.
That design on the black cover for the pedal design, that's actually a native design.
It's everything drive related on the boat is native.
Yeah,
pretty much. Like it's all native design. It came off the Titans and the native propel drives and stuff, which is awesome. Because it's tried and true, like it's not gonna go bad. But I do wish there was some tracks on the opposite side, like right next to where, like on this side, you have your rudder control. I wish there was a track on that other open space, which I could put one there.
Yeah,
I'm just lazy and want it to come on the boat. But the more stuff you come on the boat, the more expensive the boat is. So I'm fine with doing that stuff. Just, you know, that's really about the only cons. The tank well in the back is a little small.
Like it fits a black pack though, don't it?
It fits a black pack, but if you wanted to put, like, for example, the boondocks on it, which is a big selling point for this boat, is having the boondocks to where they lift up and you have it all contained. You can't use a black pack 16x16. You have to use a 13x16. And you can't, like, what I use is the Yak Gadget Low Pro XL. I can't use that crate with boondocks, which is the only big reason I haven't bought the boondocks yet. Because when I go, like, yeah, I could take them off and stuff for bigger lake trips, but because I don't really use the Low Pro that often on the river. I just throw a couple tackle boxes back there and call it a day. I'm actually thinking about getting the real small one just so everything's organized.
Not even all my rod holders on it?
No, because all my rods sit horizontal on the rod stagers, because especially, like, that's no matter what, like, if tomorrow I was told, hey, man, we took your bona fide boats and we're giving you Sun Dolphin sit-ins, I'd find a way to get stagers on it for the simple fact that that's yeah. that's the best accessory I've ever put on a boat, hands down, no question asked. Like, yeah. it's amazing.
I agree.
It's so simple, too. But
it works good on almost every boat. Like, I haven't seen a kayak that it hasn't worked on yet.
Well, no, because it's so adjustable. I mean, you can make them super tight if you want, or you can kick them all the way out, which, like, on the last trip, I experimented a little bit with getting them tighter to the boat, and I actually liked it a lot more. I had more room than I thought I did than having them kicked out. So
I like them
that's
tight
great.
To me, too.
Yeah, exactly. But see, if I go on the lake or something and I want to take, because I can comfortably, like, they're set up for three rods a piece, I can comfortably get four or five on each, just kind of like feng shuiing them over top of each other.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to take six rods or eight rods with me, I could put the stagers on the other side and kick those all the way out so they don't get in the way of the rudder control. So I can still take a ton of rods with me, have them all be flat, so I don't become a windmill or a sail or anything like that. My rod's sticking up. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of those. That has nothing to do with the boat, but go to yakcatcher.com and buy some rod stagers. You won't be unhappy, I promise.
What was that first con that you said? Because I was going to say something, I just forget.
The first con I said was, what did I say? Oh, the dry pod, dry storage.
Oh yeah. It would be cool, like, for people that don't want to use the pedals, it would be cool if they made, like, a little dry pod that drops in there.
Either a drop-in or something, like, if they had something underneath where you can, like, an insert. Now, the more inserts you have, the more chance you have of leaks. But if you had, like, an insert up into it, you can screw, like, a cover onto it or something. But, yeah, drop-in dry pod. That wouldn't be hard to do either. I don't think so. I mean, it would be fairly simple. Not.
They'd have to come out with, like, the hardware to make it work and stuff too, but
yeah, but it wouldn't, I don't think it would be the hardest thing in the world.
Nah.
But yeah, those are really the only cons. I mean, I'm sure while we're talking, I might think of something else, but that's pretty much, like, all I can think of. Cause everything else, I have had zero issues with the boat. Other than that, it goes super shallow, but we'll get into that. So
what do you think? How do you feel about the weight of it overall?
Heavy, but not heavy enough to not want to drag it. But I have, so if I didn't have wheels or a cart, because I have a cart, if I didn't have a cart, I probably wouldn't take it on the river as much as I do.
Because
it makes getting the boat there so much easier. Even to the point, even with your boat, like, you have a Scholey and that's a lighter boat. I wouldn't say lighter. I mean, it's a lighter boat. And you still like using my cart over long distances for the simple fact, it just makes it get there easier. So, heavy, but not heavy enough for me to really care. That makes sense.
Yeah, I got you. I was just wondering because people, they hear pedal drive and they're like, oh, it's going to be too heavy.
Yeah, and I actually talked to a guy today about that. We were looking at my trailer and he was like, you know, it's a pedal drive. I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I took my boats out or my kayaks out and I was like, man, I really want a pedal drive, but they're so heavy. I was like, yeah, they are, but you got to think it's only heavy getting it there and getting it out.
Yeah.
Like, when you're dragging, I haven't come up to a situation where I haven't been able to drag stuff. And with my pedal drive up, there's only been one spot that I couldn't go through really shallow water like you did, Scholey. I was going right through it in the boat without having to get out and drag it. So
I will say, just by watching you on our river floats, like, I'm impressed how shallow that thing drafts. Like, the gunnels look huge on that thing, but it still drafts pretty shallow.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, it's... I haven't had any major issues. And even with the drive-in, I think the shallowest, because I remember asking, we were on a river trip float. I think it was the first time that we were out and I had the drive-in on the river. And I said, how deep are we? And you said, I think you said like a foot or less. Yeah. And I was like, man, my drive's still in. And it was great.
Yeah, it was like 1.2 feet.
Yeah. And the drive was still in. And I felt like I had a little bit more to go because I was going all the way up there. There's rocks. I know there's rocks there and I wasn't hit anything. So I probably could have gone down another 2 or 3 inches and been okay. So
but you can smack that thing off of rocks too. And it's pretty durable.
Yeah. I mean the design of the drive, which is when we first saw it at the Cincinnati Expo, that's what one thing we did say. I mean, that's a durable drive. Like, I know I've hit a couple rocks not paying attention with my skeg as hard as I possibly could to where it came up. I didn't have it locked in so it could bounce up and it came up and took the cover off. And I heard the the prop hit the bottom of the boat and then go back down. And I looked after it and it has a little scratch. There's no dents, there's no chips, just scratched. It's insane.
If you awesome. If you had a hook, you probably would have bent the mast.
I actually just did. I watched a video today, a guy out, he was in the middle of the ocean and he's just pedaling. And this is, he's probably in 40 foot of water, just pedaling. And all you hear is, doof, and he pulled up his 360 drive and it was just dead.
Oh, I was like, dude, man, that would suck.
I was like, that sucks big time. He doesn't have a motor or anything. So he went back. It was funny because he went back. He told his wife, yeah, my pedal drive broke. I need to replace it. And she's like, okay. And the next picture is him in a boat, like a full like offshore boat. And she's like, what is this? He's like, I told you the drive was broken. So it was funny. But yeah, I mean, I don't have any lack of confidence in the drive. I really think I can beat the thing up. And just with regular maintenance, you know, I think it's every time you get out of the water, you're supposed to clean it, which I haven't been doing that. So. Sorry.
Like how? Like clean it how? Just spray it off?
I don't know. That's why I haven't been cleaning it. Cause I was like, what? I'm in fresh water. I'm just gonna spray it off with fresh water. Like I don't understand the whole cleaning it aspect of it. Like I don't get it. Yeah. Now this is something we could reach out to Justin and really tickle our fancies on because he's had the native drive and a Titan for a long time. Same drive. So he probably knows. I know every year you're supposed to re-grease it. Which you have to buy a grease gun and all that, but the native sells a kit. I'll probably just spend the extra money and get the kit because it's easy.
Well, you can get a discount on it anyway.
I don't know if I get it through native.
I figured you would.
I don't think so. Cause they have their own team too. Like it's a completely separate team from us. I don't know. Maybe now I got to ask about that. but yeah, I know you said you had some questions. So what kind of questions do you have?
We were already going through them, dude. This is exactly what I was going to ask.
Oh, so, all right. Cool.
All right. So we hit cons and stuff, which is, I figure would be a short list. You've never been in the SS-127, right?
I've been in an SS-127, but not for a long enough period of time. I've been in the SS-107.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I want to see what your take is on the seat difference.
Okay, so the P127 seat, I'll be straight up front and honest with you. I've never been in it without the kayak cushion in it. And I have the extra thick, extra firm kayak cushion because I'm a creature of comfort. And if I'm uncomfortable, same conversation today with the dude about duck hunting. If you're uncomfortable, you're not going to want to do it. So if you're fishing for long periods of time on floats and you're uncomfortable, you don't want to do it. I can say that I love the RS. I still have an RS. A buddy's using it right now, but I still have an RS. And I hated taking that on floats because I was uncomfortable. Now, caveat to that. The P127 with the kayak cushion is a super comfortable seat. I've never complained about it to where my seat's uncomfortable. I've never had to sit there all day and do this. But compared to the SS series seat, the SS series seat, in my opinion, is the best seat you could ever have on any boat, hands down. There's almost no comparison to it. I could sit in that seat at a ball game and be fine.
I agree with that, dude. Because I've been in the Brian just popped in and he left quickly. Jimmy,
it's like the third person. I bet they're like clicking on the wrong group. But anyway.
But yeah, I've been in the SS-127 seat, and I agree that seat is the best seat I've ever sat in on a kayak. And I've fished out of a Hobie numerous times, and I still think the Bonafy seat's better.
Yeah, I mean, I fished out of a Hobie, and like John's Hobie, I fished out of that one time. And don't get me wrong, the Hobie seat's not like uncomfortable, but the SS seat is so much better. Like, I wish there was a way they could have put that SS seat on the P127.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't try to.
I don't either. I don't know if it was maybe a support thing. Maybe they moved.
Probably the motion of the pedal drive somehow. I don't know.
Possible. I know with pedal drives, you want to be in a like a slouch inclined, like an inclined position to where you're sitting back and up because it makes it easier to pedal. I don't know. But the SS seat, hands down, is better. But the P120 seat is comfortable. Like I can sit in it, especially with the kayak cushion. I don't really like, I have degenerative disc disease. It doesn't bother me. And we've gone on floats where we've been out there 8 or 9 hours and I've been fine. Yeah. So
yeah, we did that this weekend. Mm-hmm. I've never once heard you say that, like, oh, my back hurts. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard me say it a few times.
Yeah, I mean, I occasionally, like, I haven't heard you, but like, when I was in the RS, though, I know I said it a lot. To where I was having to stand up, and now when I stand up, I'm standing up because the P127 is so stable.
Yeah,
that we're just going to another pro. It's so stable. I mean, I can. We've been going down some decently moving water, and I've stood up and fished the bank sideways, and I haven't felt uneasy at all.
Go ahead. My bad.
No, you're good.
I went through a set of rapids down near Miamisburg once in the P127 standing up casting.
Yeah, dude, it's the stability is as good or better than the SS series.
Yeah.
Which says a lot because they're known for stable boats. I mean, this weekend I have a Rogue drag strap on the front of my boat. Same thing you did with your anchor strap, and I got a crankbait stuck in it. And I didn't hesitate at all to take a step up there, get over there, bend down, get it out, and then go back. It was fine. Yeah.
That's cool. That's the thing. I just haven't been in a P127 yet. And I want to experience that stability just to see the difference. I miss my SS127, man. I miss it.
Every time we go out, I'm like, yeah, man, before we get out, you just get on the boat or something, or you take it out this time, I'll take the Scholey, and then we just never do it. So
I know. It's pretty stupid.
I'll just bring the SS next time we go, and then you just take the P, and I'll take the SS.
Me and Justin say that all the time. We're like, all right, I'm gonna try your Coosa HD out. And he's like, all right, I'll try the Scholey. It never happens.
Have you still not been in his Coosa?
I've been in a Coosa, but not long enough time to,
to really know.
Play with it.
Yeah, it's understandable. But yeah, we need to just get you on it so you can just enjoy it. I need to finish getting the motor. Here comes a rabbit hole. Whatever. I need to finish getting the motor wired and the rudder wired on the SS so I can take that out more. Because I have that. Like, I'm looking at my motor guide. It just sat here for like 5 months because I have the pedal drive now, so I don't really use it. But I want to put it on the SS series for Stacy.
Think she could use it and use the motor?
I think she could. I mean, she doesn't like standing up anyway. So, like, the only thing I'd worry about is her standing up on spot locking it, turning it mock Jesus, and throwing her off the boat.
That almost happened to me on the Pursuit, man.
Dude, that almost happened to me on Dale Hollow this year on the RS. I literally was standing up, spot locked, and it was like, you know what? No. And I, like, sat there one-legged for a second. I mean, testament to the RS's. I don't know, because the wind pushes it off, and it has to come back and point into the wind, and it's just the sketchiest thing to ever happen.
We were at me and Chris Yalk was up at the reservoir one time a couple years ago. Yeah. And I had my motor, and I was sitting here. It was just like, I don't even know what it was doing. He was like, you need to throw that thing away. I'm like, I know. I can't stand
it. So the bad thing with that reservoir is it's so high off the ground. It gets crosswinds, and it's not a steady crosswind. Like, it'll come from one way and then another way and then another way. And how that motor spot locks you is it points you into the wind. So the constant wind changes. Like, so, I think that's why at the I think that's why the reservoir motor is poo-poo. Yeah, I mean, a pedal drive, in my opinion, is better there than a motor, because a pedal drive, you can just keep pointed in whatever direction you want.
Yeah.
So,
no, Justin proved that. I mean, he sat there the whole time, and I was just frustrated.
Yeah. And then I know the time we were going across the middle of the reservoir, you were dragging my RS, and I almost died.
Yeah, that was sketchy. That was stupid.
That was not smart. Don't be like us. That was the stupidest thing we've done in boats, probably. Going it's over like 70 foot mile of water.
An hour wind. Yeah.
Well, it was my own fault because I went out there with a paddle kayak.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. I was not fine.
Yeah, that place sucks with a paddle. It sucks with a paddle.
You can't do it. I mean, you can't do it. It's not possible. I did it, and I say it's not. Because if you weren't there, I would have had to get out. Because the wind was pushing me so much into the rocks. I would have had to got out, drug my kayak all the way around. Like, I wouldn't have been able to get back in and paddle through the wind. It was that bad.
You would have probably had to stay right around the edges all the way around, which is a long paddle.
It's a long paddle, and I was getting bashed into rocks every 5 seconds. Like, I'll never do that again. But that sucked. That sucks so bad. Next Pro, I'm a fan of. It has the same SS, you know, thing as the internal storage. So I like internal. The hatch system is great. Opens up both ways, or you can take it off completely. I fit 6 rods to 8 rods in there comfortably, along with my paddle and life vest. It comes with the tray, which is dope. So you don't have to buy a tray separate. Yeah, that's I like that. Do I use my tray? No, but the only reason I don't use it is because I still haven't got my fish finder rigged up for the river on that boat. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact is I just don't have the time. And when I do have the time, it's not something I want to do. Like I'm procrastinating at doing it. But that's where I'm going to put a battery for a fish finder. Like especially when we go back down to Dale Hollow or anything like big water, I'll have a battery in there for my fish finder and things like that. So,
well, that's cool.
But yeah, the internal storage is nice. Whether you're doing kayak camping,
that's the one thing Bonafide. That's another thing Bonafide's always done really well is the storage. That stability is what always had me coming back to them.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a few different boats. Like, I've been in your Scholey, and don't get me wrong, it's a good boat. Just for me, coming from the SS and the P127 side, and even the RS, I think the RS is a little bit more stable than the Scholey is. Like, you can stand in it, but you can tell it wants to rock with you a little bit more. It's not really, like, solid. Hobies are super stable, but I still feel more comfortable in a Bonafide stability-wise. Yeah,
Hobie's,
I
mean, still just got that rock, man.
It does. Even the big, like the PAs have, the PA-14s have that rock, which is crazy. It's a 14-foot kayak, and it still has that rock, and it's noticeable. It's not like I'm picking at stuff. Like, oh yeah, it's got a little rock. Like, it has noticeable rock. Like, I feel it.
When you got a guy like Chad Hoover standing on the gunwale of a 127, you know it's stable.
Well, you got a guy like Chad Hoover standing on the gunwales of the RS-117.
Yeah,
that's his new, like, one of his new favorite boats he loves fishing out of is the RS-117. He loves fishing. He just made a video of it. Of, like, he said, I think he says something along the lines like, best budget kayak you can buy.
Huh.
Which is, I mean, and I had it and I love that boat. Like, I wouldn't be hesitant at all to say, hey, you got to take that boat back out and be like, oh, okay. I mean, sure, it's fine. I don't dislike it at all. I'll put a kayak cushion on it. I'm not going to lie and be like, oh yeah, everything about it's great. I'll put a kayak cushion on it. But I mean, it's got, you know, a bunch of stuff. Want some frogs?
No. Oh. I won't ever throw them.
I know. And I don't throw them here either, which I got told I was stupid for not doing that the other day by somebody I know. He's like, yeah, I throw frogs in Ohio all the time and get bit all the time. I was like,
well, good for you.
I'm going to say, that's cool. I don't. So, cool. I'm trying to think what other, like, pros. There's so much. I mean, I've gone through them pretty quick, though. That's the only thing. I get on something, I get excited, and I start talking about it. What else do I got? What else is there? There's so much.
How does it paddle compared to pedaling?
That's what I wanted to talk about. So you would think a 129-pound boat, and I'm talking about with the drive-in, and this is the scenario the drive is still in, that boat paddles fantastic. Like, I have no, like, I didn't bring the paddle or the pedal drive this last weekend. I paddled the whole thing and I wasn't tired. It paddled great. It tracked well. You know, for a boat with big gunnels and big rockers, it tracked fantastic.
I will say, man, talking about tracking here, that kayak compared to the SS-127, everybody knows the SS has that issue of the back end floating around. You stay mm-hmm. pointed pretty well, but you probably also mess with that rudder a little bit too.
No. So when you came up to me Saturday, you're like, oh, what did you say?
Do you have your rudder pointed it toward the wind?
Yeah, that's what you said. And I was like, no, dude, my rudder's up. I haven't touched it like for the last hour. And I was just dead center. Like I wasn't moving at all.
Yeah, you're pointed how you wanted to be positioned.
Exactly, which was great. And the only time I'll use the rudder like a lot, mostly I don't use the rudder for two reasons. One, I forget that I have one, so I don't use it.
Unless you got the pedals in.
Unless I had the pedal, like if I have the pedals in, I'm like, oh yeah, I've got a rudder, I got to use it. But when I don't have the pedals in, and the time I remember is if I'm facing sideways, floating with the current, I'll point my rudder upstream, and it'll keep me straight sideways, and I won't move, so I can literally just float down and cast.
That's nice.
The only thing I'll have to do is back off the bank after 40 feet or so, because it'll start pushing me into the bank, and I'll just back off of it, and it's great.
Yeah. So that rudder, even though it's up, it's still sitting in the water of like 4 inches. So it's still doing something.
Yeah. It's definitely doing something. But it's to the point that I'm not messing with it. I'm not touching it. I pretty much leave it in the straight position when I'm trailering it or whatnot. I was super worried. I was like, dude, something's going to come up and smash my rudder or something. And we already found that, I mean, they can break. Me and Brad broke the first one in Ohio.
The only time I was ever going to get in one, and it broke, and I couldn't get in it.
Yeah, and it broke good. Like, we broke it. Yeah. But no, I mean, I just keep it in that forward spot, and I think Saturday, I may have taken it down one time because I was facing sideways, and it was being dumb to where it was just windy for no reason. And I put it down and it kept me there. And then I pulled it back up when we went shallow and I forgot about it the rest of the day. So
I would like to see. So is it a freestanding rudder? So if it hits something, it'll like pop up.
Yes. Yeah. It'll pop up.
I'd like to see you use that in some deeper stretches. Just see how it reacts.
Yeah. I mean, so when we went out paddling. While I'm paddling.
Yeah.
And not pedaling. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've got a place we can test that. I'm going to bring the pedals because I'm not going to do that all day. But yeah. I have a place where we get annoyed by small boats and stupid rowers. That's deep enough where I could do that. So
everybody knows where that is.
Not everybody. I'm sure there's someone who doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, we could try that and see. Do a little experiment.
Yep, I like messing with stuff like that just to see.
Yeah, I mean, I like knowing the limits of what something can do and what I'm able, like the capability. So if I don't have my rudder or my pedal system and I'm paddling, I know, oh, well, this would be a perfect time to pop my rudder in because it'll do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that. I do like, this is a pro and a con. See, I told you I'd have other cons. So the way the bungee set up in the tank well is it's basically bungeed all the way around. And then you have two little clips that come out and you can lock those on whatever you want. Really cool for the black packs, low pros, flambos, milk crates, lunchbox, whatever you want to use. What sucks about it is they will not stretch far enough to reach. So if I don't have something in there, I can't use the bungee system. Like it won't go over top of anything. So like in when we're on the river and stuff, I don't bring the low pro, but I would love to be able to take my bungees all the way across. So if I do, God forbid it flips or something, my tackle's not just going to fly out. Like it'll hit something and want to stay in there.
I gotcha.
And, or something to put over my lunchbox or something. So it's in there and it's not free floating. and they cannot do that, which and that's a con. The pro of it is when I have the low pro in, I mean, it clamps down and doesn't move.
Yeah. Like you're talking about the little Omni hooks.
Yeah. The little Omni hooks go in there, hold down and they put pressure down. It doesn't move. Which is cool. Like I can trailer my low pro on the back of my kayak and I'm not worried about it going anywhere. Like it's perfect.
Yeah.
One other thing about the tank well, that's annoying. Another con. So the tank well isn't a flat piece. Like it's not just uniform all the way across. On the two corners, it's got basically steps and then they step down into the tank well. Mm-hmm. That sucks for two reasons. A, it was made for the black packs. That's what it was made for. I'll just say it. It was designed for only the black packs. So if you don't have something that fits that same footprint, like my low pro, I can finagle both the feet that come off the low pro box to fit on just a sliver of each side. But 9 times out of 10, it'll shift to where it'll fly in. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Does it still work like it's supposed to? Yes. Do I hate how it looks? Yes. It just looks stupid.
Bothers me too.
Yeah, dude. It just, like that. It's the little stuff that just bothers me. Like I wish, like one thing I'm thinking about doing, I want to get like not wood or anything, but I want to get like something.
Starboard, like plastic.
Starboard. I couldn't think what it was. Starboard and just make it flat all the way across.
That'd be cool.
Like, yeah, that's all. And I would drill holes like right where the scuppers are, just drill a hole. So I still have all my scupper holes back there and they're not covered up and works out perfect.
You just mentioned scupper holes and it reminded me of something I was going to say earlier, referring to the cup holder. I recently saw a product. It was a cup holder and then it had scupper plugs on the bottom. So you put the cup holder in a scupper hole.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I was like, yeah, that's interesting. I've never seen that before. I don't know who makes it. I can't remember.
I don't know. I might look at that. I mean, I have a Yak Gadget cup holder that, like I said, I wish there was a track right here. I'm just going to add a track there and put it right there. The only issue with that is that spot where that would be, it's going to get in the way, which sucks. Yeah. So I just wish it was more in the boat or molded to where it sits down. I don't know. It's just me nitpicking stuff. Another thing, not a huge fan of, I wish it was like 3 inches wider.
The whole kayak?
Yeah. For the simple fact that there's a lot of track space. Like for the stagers, works fine. Don't need to worry about it. But like my fish finder, I can't have it. I would rather have it farther up.
Uh-huh.
But I can't. Because if I have it farther up, I have to, like, if I'm looking at the boat, I have it up here. I have to cant it out and then back with the mount because my pet is in the way of the pedal stroke. So I either have to do that or put it really close, like right here, which I'm just, for me, it's in my workspace, as I like to say, and I don't like a whole lot of stuff cluttering my workspace and it's right there. So it's just kind of in the way. Like it's right where I would go to net a fish. So it'd just be something I had to fight. And with there being no like dry pot or anything, there's no way I can mount it in the middle, which is where I'd rather mount it, is right in the center of everything.
Yeah.
So I understand again why I can't do that, but I just wish I could. It'd be sick.
Yeah, I got you. That makes a lot of sense. Like I wouldn't like it on those front tracks either.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's almost, that's another big reason why I haven't mounted it and been using it, because I haven't found a place I really like it.
It would be cool to put it on your right side, put a track on the right side and put it right there.
Yeah, like right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing with that is I'd have to kick my rod stagers out farther.
Oh, that's right.
So that sucks. And I'd have to, like, if it's right here, I like to bring the fish right to, like, where I'm sitting. So I can just turn and net. And if it's right here, it's in the way of that action still. So I'd rather have it being farther away. I mean, I have a 10-inch screen. So, like.
Oh, you net on the side?
I'll net on both sides. I don't care. But I like to have.
I always net on the left side.
I just like having options of, so I don't have to, like, if I catch the fish, because there'll be times you, like, you know, we'll be going down the bank like this and I'll cast in front of me, especially with moving baits. So I'm not, because then you're just fighting it coming back. And I just, I don't know. Subconsciously, I feel like nothing's going to hit it because it looks weird coming that way because it's fighting the current or fighting your rod. So I'll cast downstream when we're going downstream. Now, when I'm going upstream, obviously I cast upstream. But anyway, so I'll get fish on that side and I'll set the hook and I'll fight them over here. Unless they do, like, once they go to the left, I'll move and then the left side's open and I'll net them there all day long. But I won't force the fish to go one way or the other. Like, if I get a fish on the right side and he's tired, I'm going to net him on the right side. I'm not going to try to force him around the front of my kayak. And maybe he gets a second wind and that's when he decides to bulldog and he hits a rock just right and it pops the bait out of his mouth. Like, yeah. I would be so butthurt if that happened.
I always tend to fight the fish towards my left side. I don't know why, just how I've always done it.
Yeah. And if, like, in my, and this is, again, this is probably just me subconsciously, but when it comes to fishing, I tell a lot of people subconscious and your confidence really do play a, like, make a, you know, impact. Like, if you're throwing a bait you're confident in, you're going to work. I mean, it's overall, it's going to be a better experience. And if you're throwing a bait that you're not super confident in, it's going to be annoying. You're not going to want to throw it. So am I able to fight a fish where I want it to? Yes. But if that fish is fighting me to the right and I'm trying to force him left, I'm putting more pressure on that bait that I might not have a great hook set in because I can't always see it. So I'd rather give the fish the benefit of the doubt. If he wants to go right, I'll let him go right. And I'll force him all the way. Like, I've had fish behind me where I've had to stand up and I follow the fish. And then I'm waiting for that fish, because fish will go and they'll either bulldog or they'll go. And then they'll be like an NFL receiver on a hitch route and they'll just stop and turn. And I'll wait. And right when I feel that slack, I'll flip the other way and I'll go with him again. I'll get the tension back. So I just don't want to have to force a fish anyway. That's just me, maybe, but
I don't know. I guess it's just the way I always cast out the left side anyway. So it's probably
why. So you're doing this pretty much the same concept I'm doing, just on the other side. Yeah. So I guess I could put, because my left side is pretty much open.
You just got your rudder there, rudder control.
Yeah, but I mean, the rudder control is right here, so I can push this a little bit farther up and use it right there, and it's not really in the way. I don't know. I don't like looking to the left. I'm just a loser when it comes to that. There's a lot of things in my brain that's like, don't do that. That's stupid. So yeah. I don't do it. So
that's funny.
But it's just like what I tell everyone when it comes to fishing stuff. It's finding what works for you. What me and Brad do, you might hate and never want to do it and might think, oh, that's stupid. I don't know why they do it that way. Well, we do it that way because it works for us.
And we do it
whatever
stupid
way. Well, yeah, we've proven that, but it works for us. I mean, if you want to be super awesome and clip a fish finder to your face, if that works for you, do it. Like, who cares?
Dude, that's a $1 million idea right there. Like a virtual reality, like fish finder glasses.
Yeah. Until you're not paying attention, you run into a riffle going backwards or you get high centered on a rock and flip. That would suck.
I do that. I do that anyway without glasses.
I know. I've watched it.
Dude, it's like, well, I wait last minute to like adjust because I want to get that last cast in above a riffle.
Yeah, like I've done that one time and I was like, dude, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, because I lucked out. I got pinned on a rock going sideways, but the boat didn't like jump the rock. It just pinned me right there. And then I stopped. That's the
good thing about bonafides, man.
Well, yeah, it pinned me and I was like, well, I can actually fish from this. And I started fishing. I got a fish on a jig like right then. It was awesome.
The inflatable, though, that's exactly what you just explained is exactly how I flipped it. I hit that rock right when I hit it. It pushed me up on the rock and then the current pushed the side that was in the water. Not on the rock. It just flipped it easy.
Yeah,
just flipped it easy.
Well, that's because you're sitting on top of the water. You're not actually in the water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was way easier for it to get that, just that little bit of tension to make that one to go.
Yep. And it was fast water. So it was just boom.
I guess it's a good thing you didn't die.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
Man, that was sucked.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known.
That's true, because she'd be dead.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I was in the P-127, so I guess it has something to do with it. I had caught that first fish on that jig, and I was getting the fish in, you know, putting it in the water, getting my catch board out, measuring it, putting it back in the water, taking a picture. And the time I was underneath, like, in a tree, and I hate that because spiders like to crawl on you and stuff.
I hate that too, man.
Dude, but I looked up, and there was, like, three gnarly-looking, brown, disgusting spiders climbing up this branch at the same time, and I was like, oh, no, no, no. So I looked at a branch, grabbed it, and pushed off. And I swear the rest of the day, I felt stuff on my head.
I've done that.
Like, and I was like, I was doing like this. And at one point, like a butterfly landed on my neck, and I went back there and just grabbed it and crushed it. And I looked, geez. And it's a butterfly, and I was like, oh man, that sucks. And I just washed it off. And we got out of the water, or got out, and we were wade fishing at one point, and I literally dunked my head and my hat and everything in the water. I was like, I'm not.
That's what you gotta do.
So, dude, it was, I felt like it all day.
Me and Justin both had spiders all over our kayak on Labor Day when we went down the river. We sat in some grass, like, because it kept us still. And I had spiders all over the front. They were crawling all over the deck. It was, I was shuddering.
Oh, yeah, dude, I hate spiders. Like, I'm just not, like, I'll kill them. Like, I'm not like, oh, no, a spider, and, like, run away. But, dude, I don't like them. They're just creepy.
Jay and Brian came up and visited one time. They floated the Great Miami with us. And Brian don't like spiders. He went under a tree like that, and he flipped out. I was like, I looked over. I was like, you all right? He's like, yeah, I saw a spider. I hate spiders. I'm like, oh.
He hates spiders. He hates alligators. Like, I don't know how he fishes at all.
Yeah. It's
whatever. But yeah, I mean, I've had zero problems with the boat, like using it. I know some people, the first batches came out, some of the rudder, like the plastic inserts were coming loose, so they weren't able to turn. But it was, I mean, those are the first ones that shipped. I didn't have any issue. Bonafide addressed it pretty quick on the second run, which I got like the second or third run of it. Didn't have any issues with it. Worked out great. I've had no workable issues with that boat so far. I've been super happy with it.
I know. I just by looking at you fishing out of it and stuff, I can tell you're really enjoying it. So,
oh yeah. Cool. I mean, I have a lot more confidence because it is more stable in the RS. So even in moving water, like I said, I can stand up. I did that in the RS too, but there was some rock in it. So at some points, if the water is moving too quick, I didn't feel super comfortable doing it. So I didn't do it. And I think I missed a couple of casting opportunities that way. Mostly now there's one stretch that has some overhangs that, cause I can stand in that water that's moving. I can stand up and I can skip really well when I'm standing, and I can skip a jig up underneath stuff and get fish I couldn't do before, because when I'm sitting, my rods are too long, and I just can't get the right angle. But when I'm standing up, I can skip all day long. So it's opened that up too. So I mean, overall, I mean, I'd have to rate from all the boats I've been in a solid 9 out of 10, maybe an 8.5. I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10 because nothing's close to perfect. There's some issues that I wish were fixed. But there's pros and cons. There's a reason why they designed the boat that way. So I'll just take it and enjoy it.
I'm hoping I'm getting one next year still. I don't know. We'll see.
I think you should. I think
I do. I miss the Bonafide. I do. It's a good boat.
Yeah. But I mean, there is something to say about the Scholey though on the river. Like it's.
No, that thing, like I said, it points the way I want to point it to. I fish with my buddy, Will. He's in a Hobie Outback. He was like, dude, he's like, I love my Outback, but you stay pointed where you want to be. I'm like, I know, that's nice.
that big long float we took in spring, and I had the RS and we had to carry over to that dam and everything. I remember watching Justin just stay pointed.
I know.
And I was like, dude, it's so annoying. And he came over. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, dude, I move all the time. This RS goes all over the place without a rudder or anything. He's like, you don't even move. He's like, yeah, it's a Kuza. I was like, yeah, that's stupid. Like, why?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super pumped for the RVR though.
I know. You getting one?
I'm getting one. The second that I can pre-order it, I'm getting one.
Are you going to sell any other boats to get it?
I've decided probably not. I think I'm just going to have a fleet of
boats. There you go.
So I have an SS-107, P-127, RS-117, and then I'll have the RVR. So, yeah.
That's sweet. I can't wait to see that one. That one's going to be cool, too.
Yeah, that's going to be, especially if you guys haven't listened to 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we did a show with Hans from Bonafide, and it was like, watch it on YouTube, because he did 3D prints of the bow, the stern, like everything. And it was super technical and informative. And it really, I think about that boat like twice a week.
Somebody messaged me about that. They're like, dude, I thought that was the coolest thing. He busted out those 3D printed things.
Dude, it was like, I think I said it three times in the show. I was like, if you're not like, if you're listening to this, just pause it and pick it up when you get home, because you need to see this. Because he like went and like he talked about everything, like the molded in handles for the front and, you know, just everything that's on that boat. So I'm pumped for that boat. That's going to be sick.
It's pretty much the first look at it, too. Like,
yeah, I think we were the very first place, because they talked a little bit about it at ICAST and they had like the promo, but we were the first show that had anything to do with asking technical questions and getting the inside scoop on stuff. So, yeah, definitely give it a listen. Oh, great show. Great show.
This was a good show, man. I'm glad.
I like this show. Like, we've been talking about doing this for like 2 months. And every time you say, hey, do you want to do the P-127 review? It's like, I think I need one more trip just to really solidify. And I did that like 6 times. So,
yeah, it's all good. You've had time in it. You're comfortable with it. So it was a good chance we did it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you have any closing thoughts, Brad?
Pineapple and pizza. Do you like it?
10 out of 10. It's the best it's the best combo you could have.
I like it too.
Dude, the stuff, especially if you get spicy pepperoni, you get a little bit of spice and then you get the sweet coolness of the pineapple.
I dig it too.
Dude, I'm back.
Anyway,
I'm in.
That's it for me.
All right, guys. I don't have anything else. If you can definitely, if you're looking at a new kayak and you're looking at a pedal kayak, go check out the P-127. Get in it first. Try to find a local kayak dealer to you. If you're in the, you know, southern western region or central western region of Ohio, go to Loveland Canoe and Kayak. They can get you on the water, get you to demo one. Demo the boat first, but I think it you'll enjoy it. There's not a whole lot that you won't like. And remember, check out Dark Horse Tackle. That subscription service, fantastic. There's a subscription for any price point that you're at. And just like we showed at the beginning of the show, there's always going to be something that you'll get that you'll enjoy. So
paddle 20.
Until next time, paddle 20, 20% off your first box. But until next time, we'll see you later. Tie good knots, set good hook sets. Go catch them.
Unlike
Thanks
me,
for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination. Go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.